The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ba-ba-ba-ba. Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Oilers Nation Radio coming at you.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Bag Milk here. Rick, Tyler, ba-ba-ba-bum, Liam on the beat, Dan on the screen. Gang's all here. We got a lot to talk about. Not a lot of games this week to talk about.
Don't they play like two times in the next 2 weeks?
I have to play in 7 in 14 days.
Is that what it was?
Because they played 4 in a row and then they just said 3 last week, right?
Yep. Sure.
Why do they hate us?
So there you go. 7 in 14 days.
So we got the All-Star break coming. The Oilers have their bye week, I imagine, mixed in there.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think so.
A lighter schedule coming up.
Yeah.
As we do every week, we're going to start off the podcast with a delicious debate for our friends at Oodle Noodle. 18 locations and counting, with the newest one down in Calgary. If you've been there, let Oodle Noodle know. Hit them up. Oodle_noodle on Instagram. Oodle Noodlegram. Or sorry, that was on Twitter. Oodle Noodlegram on Instagram. Go check that out. It's Wanya and me behind the scenes on that one. So you just want to talk to me and Wanya, there you go. There's another way to do it.
You can also find them on the World Wide Web.
Mm-hmm. Oodlenoodle.ca. Mm-hmm. That's where you go.
On the World Wide Web.
That's what they say in their commercials on the radio.
They do.
The World Wide Web with, what's his name? I can't remember the guy's name with the English voice.
Is it Liam?
Maybe one day, Jay, if you're listening, I'm available.
Yep. I voiced a Oodle Noodle commercial once. It was... Great.
I used to write Oodle Noodle commercials once upon a time.
You've worn so many different hats.
Mm-hmm.
Wanya's done them a couple, no?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're fun to write. We used to write them in school. Not Oodle Noodle ones, just commercials in general.
Yeah. Once upon a time in this company, Oilers Nation would shift to Oodle Noodle in the off season. So we would just be like, all right, we're pivoting to noodles whenever the Oilers invariably got knocked out of the playoffs. That's not the point of what we're getting to here though, Liam.
Nope.
It's delicious debate time with my friend Tyler Yaremchuk. What have you got for us today?
Well, you know, there's some talk about which assets the Oilers could be looking to move ahead of the deadline. Daniel Nugent Bowman was reporting that Broberg and Holloway are almost untouchable at this point. So my question to you, the group, my co-host of Oilers Nation Radio, how many Oilers prospects do you view as truly untouchable?
I'm going to start off with a question for you, Tyler.
Okay.
Those two names from DNB's article at The Athletic. Do you buy it?
Yes, I do. And I'll even throw this part into the question for you guys to answer, but we're talking untouchable in deadline moves. So like guys you wouldn't give up for just a rental piece, mm-hmm, is sort of the question here. How many prospects are in your untouchable list? If Kyle Davidson calls you to talk about Jonathan Toews, or Jarmo Kekalainen wants to talk about Gavrikov, or whoever is the GM in Vancouver, because I don't think anybody really knows. Whoever's the GM in Vancouver says, let's talk about Bo Horvat. Who are the prospects that you say, we can make a deal, but it doesn't involve these guys?
So specifically, we're making rental deals.
Rental deals.
Not hockey trades, as
not
we like to say.
Not hockey trades.
All right, Rick, who you got?
There's only a couple of guys on the roster that I'd actually move, none of the prospects, nobody young in terms of a rental, yeah, anyways. Outside of that, though, I can only think of two. Ginger Beef and Borgo.
So Ginger Beef, Borgo, Broberg, and Holloway are all untouchable for you?
Yeah, there's only two or three guys on the team I'd move in terms of that rental type player right now that are on the roster as of today. Yeah. And then off the roster right now, according to what I'm looking at here, I honestly, outside of Schaefer and Borgo, Savoy and Lavoie, you might not want to move, but you can definitely tempt me. Outside of that, I don't see more forwards sitting there. And defensemen, there's a couple guys that I have hopes for, but if you offered me enough, you could have them. And my goaltender, same thing.
My answer for this is I'm more concerned about the Oilers' depth chart at forward. Anybody on defense can go.
Broberg included?
Nope, not Broberg. If we're talking strictly rentals,
yeah.
Anybody outside of like underneath Broberg on that depth chart for defense, have at it.
They are Nanny Malinen's kind of guys.
Yep, they could. Sure.
Yeah. If Florida was like, hey, we have, actually, this is probably a bad example. If the Blues were like, hey, we got Nico Mikkola, who's a defenseman, Friedman's tied to the Oilers, and we just want to swap him for Niemelainen, I think I would do that.
Yeah,
I'd do that. I think that's a piece I would maybe sacrifice with the emergence of Darnay and Broberg. I'd sit there and go, I can give up that guy for someone who's going to be much, much better and help me win this year.
Yep. Like, if I'm prioritizing those two, speaking of Vinny and Niemelainen, just the way Vincent Desharnais has played, I would try and protect him more so than Niemelainen. Yeah. But if the right deal comes along, see you later.
I'm just kind of looking through what happened last season as we headed into the deadline. So the biggest prospect move was paying Krebs, but that was obviously for Jack Eichel. So that's a huge move. You look at the other ones that were there when Hagel was moved, that was Taylor Radish and Boris Kachuk.
Those are more
two kind of guys, just roster players you throw in there. When Claude Giroux was moved, it was Owen Tippett. Nick Paul was Joseph, who was kind of a fourth line guy too. The other big one was Andrew Copp for Morgan Barron, who was a sixth round pick by the Rangers and had played like a handful of NHL games. So like
the Toffoli deal as well had a prospect going to Montreal.
I didn't look that far back because I just stuck with the February. But my point kind of is I don't think the Oilers need to. I think it's guys like Lavoie, Tulio, maybe even like a Savoy are kind of the guys who the Oilers would move rather than like any of the top guys. Anyway, the market's just not really there at the moment for like a Broberg, Holloway, Schaefer, Borgo. And I feel like it's one other one I'm missing. Maybe that's just the four.
What's like,
so that's kind of like my untouchable list, I guess.
So with the players that are kind of like linked to us, what's their ultimate value? Give me like a name of a prospect that would have to go out the door for him. Like, are we talking Lavoie? What's coming in for Lavoie? I mean, there's definitely, I have hopes for a couple of these players. Like I'm sitting there, I have all day for Tulio, Carter Savoy, Lavoie. Let's keep him down there. Let's keep him maturing. See what happens. See what we have in the long run. I mean, I don't want to, but what are we looking at these guys that are coming back?
Well, like John Buchigross at ESPN threw out there like, oh, maybe in order to get Bo Horvat, the Kraken would part with Shane Wright. And I hear that and I go, boy, that's what they could get. Ridiculous. Seems intense.
That's super intense.
But I think maybe more realistically is, the Canucks might sit there and be like, hey, if you want Bo Horvat, you're giving us a first or a second and one of your better prospects.
So to give somewhat of a comparison, Hampus Lindholm was obviously a massive name move last year.
Yeah.
Anaheim got back John Moore, which was the cap dump. What was this defenseman called?
Urho Vakanen.
Yeah. Who I think was like an old first round pick, late first round pick.
You're not this either, are you?
No.
You just knew that off the top of your head.
Big Urho Vakanen guy.
A first round pick for this year, a second round pick for 2023, and a second round pick for 2024. For Lindholm, who they got the extension for, and Cody Curran. So like the thing is like we all put all these theories of how massive these trades really are. You probably get one or two that are really big. Like last year we got one.
Yeah.
Right. Like the Giroux, they probably like, I think teams want picks more than players. I think they'd rather pick their own players.
As a fan, I'd rather move on from picks than players.
Yeah. They're scratch tickets.
Well, we get names in here. Then you start, I like this guy. I like that guy or whatever. Right. So I'd rather move on from first rounder in 2025 than Carter Savoy, who was doing this, that, and the other thing.
Just got a hat trick.
Just to touch on, you brought up the Tyler Toffoli trade. It was Emil Heinemann, Tyler Pitlick, and a conditional first and fifth.
Remember when people were saying that was the big pickup of the summer?
Bigger than Kane.
Yeah, like that was supposed to be bigger than Kane.
Dan?
I was just going to say, like, I think when we make these untouchable lists and one of those players comes off of that list, it's not necessarily the most decimating thing. You know, like I think everybody's sitting here saying no to Broberg, but if Broberg sending Broberg out brings in a Chychrun, are you that upset? I think that we're all kind of nibbling at the bits saying that the cost is what is really the indicating factor here. I don't necessarily believe that anybody on the roster outside of your consistent performers like your McDavids are at risk. So I think that anybody could be out there. It's just, it depends on the value that you're coming back with.
And I think that's fair too. I think the list of guys I would move like for a rental just isn't there.
Yeah, me too.
And I also think you're right. I like the point you made, like you have the name attached to Schaefer and Borgo. And I think there's even a bigger risk in moving them because they were once your property. At least when you trade a first rounder, you can always hide behind the Oilers wouldn't have taken, like Barzal. They traded Barzal. Well, the Oilers weren't picking Barzal. So whoa. Right. I just think there's a little bit more, there's a bit of a safety net almost built in for a GM trading a first round pick. And I almost think it's the same for the team getting the pick where it's like, yeah, okay, you could have this prospect from the team or pick your own, trust your scouts, get the first. So I do think they're going to move there first, but I think any talk about them like moving a Borgo for someone like a Joel Edmondson, I don't think it's going to happen. Like you kind of said, Liam, it's more picks than prospects that usually get dealt.
I think teams want guys who are kind of in the middle, like guys who are like good enough to be in the NHL, but not quite there yet. Like the Taylor Hall trade is another one, I guess, where like, what was that guy? What's that guy's name?
Adam Larson.
Oh, Kevin Ball.
No, Andreas Borch.
Anders Bjork?
Yeah, that one. And then...
Andre's Borscht.
Borscht. See, that's a guy who everyone's like, oh, like, is he like, I don't know. It just seems weird. Like I can't think. There's so many other ones, but it's just like the Jacob Varane was another one. With
talk about the Hagel deal. They got Radish and Kachuk as two guys who were tweeners, the Matthew Joseph, Nick Paul thing. All right. We want a guy who, you know, is lower in your lineup, who maybe just isn't getting the minutes, but we want to give him a shot in our top six.
Is that not Jesse Puljujärvi?
Probably.
It is, right? Like, that's the only guy on the Oilers, I guess Fogel as well. He's kind of like that fringe guy who's good enough to be in the NHL, but if he was in the AHL, people wouldn't be that surprised. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of what I think the market teams want, these rebuilding teams.
So here's the Taylor Hall trades. Larson, we get it. Traded from the New Jersey Devils with Blake Spears to Arizona Coyotes for Kevin Ball, Nate Schnarr, Nick Merkley, conditional first round pick in 2020, which turned into Dawson Mercer, and a conditional third round pick in 2021, which turned into Ryder Korzak.
Now, just question, of all those names you just mentioned off there, I'm going to trust you there in NHL players. How many games have they played?
Dawson Mercer is legit.
Yeah.
He plays in their top six.
Yeah.
And then the second time he was traded from the Buffalo Sabres along with Curtis Lazar to the Bruins for Anders Bjork and a second round pick in 2021, which turned into Alexander Kisikov.
See, yeah, that's the thing. I think we all think these trades are going to be, so big. And then they happen and we're all so underwhelmed by them. Almost every year this happens. So I guess to answer the question is, I think the Oilers probably have like four or five prospects that are untouchable. Maybe even six. I just don't think the market's there for them to teams even want them.
I think you're right. I think you get more value, especially because as an organization, you've picked these guys, you've put time into developing them. And that is a part of what you're sacrificing when you trade them. You're going to get better value, better bang for your buck moving on from your picks.
So this year, if we're talking picks, the Oilers have got everything except their fourth rounder. That was traded away last year. And in 2024, they've got everything except a third and a seventh. 2025, they are without their second round pick.
Cassian deal for that 1 second. Cassian deal for the third.
I think the seventh was Kulak.
And the fourth was Derek Brassard, who we can never forget his contributions to the playoff run last year.
Gone, but never forgot.
Did he play a playoff game?
He was there.
He was a penalty kill if he did.
Think maybe.
He was on the bench, but only in warm-up.
On the bench?
No, in warm-ups, gazing upon the crew.
They got him to seat next to the bench.
He was in the hallway chopping up orange slices for the boys when they were coming off.
Someone's
He played in one.
Told you. Was it LA?
Must have been the first round.
It was Colorado.
Play.
Unless was there an injury against Calgary? Like, I don't remember him
at all.
Maybe
it was Calgary.
May 8th against LA, he played 8 minutes and 12 seconds. He had no points, no shots, no hits.
It's not bad.
What's the rest of the roster?
I don't
know. I thought he's bring up the roster. Overall, it's pretty good. Pretty good, really.
Dan, did you just say he was on the penalty kill, though?
I'm pretty sure he killed some penalties that game.
All 8 minutes on the PK.
Yeah, big contributor that one. But I mean, for his 400 grand a season, it's not a bad deal.
And you know what?
What are you expecting from a guy making that little?
If I was only making 400 grand, you should see how my work ethic would drop in this podcast.
Yep. Yep. If I was only making 400 grand, boy, would I be lazy. I want to hear from you. If you're listening to this and you go, no, you dummies, player X, Y, or Z is untouchable, stupids. Hit us up, Owen Radio Podcast. And chime in on the Oodle Noodle Delicious Debate.
And use that format like a Mad Lib. Like, hey, you dummies, blank is untouchable, idiots.
Yeah, I like that. I like
Prize that. Alone.
Feel free to chime in, Owen Radio Podcast, or just follow us on social media. Please? Okay, great. Moving along, there's a couple of just housekeeping items, almost, it feels like, since there's no games this week. They play ridiculous. Columbus tomorrow. They play Chicago on Saturday. And that's it for the week.
There you have it.
So it looks like the Oilers could be without Evander Kane tomorrow. That's according to Jason Gregor. It's not because of injury. It's because, according to Gregor, he is still in San Jose for his bankruptcy case / proceeding. Just hasn't wrapped out yet or wrapped up yet. So the Oilers could be without him tomorrow. Sucks, but it's only a game. He's got to clear that up. It is what it is.
I think it's interesting that the Oilers brought him back when they did. So I get it. They were kind of losing at the time too. So I guess it is kind of weird timing on that too. But so you bring him back and then he's just gone again immediately. Why not just wait? Wait, so what was his first game back? I'm kind of forgetting.
He's played like three games.
So he's played three and then he's gone this, he might not play tomorrow and then he's back potentially on Saturday. And then he's gone again for 10 days because they're on a break.
Yeah, it feels like this maybe could have been scheduled better.
Why not just let him?
This is not about his injury, though. Like,
no, I know, but that's what I mean. If you know this stuff is going to happen, then why not just be like, all right, Evander, one more week off. Yeah, maybe. I'm trying to think what game he came back.
Game before Tampa. Tampa was the second game back.
Seattle, that was it.
Oh, yeah, Seattle.
So he had like 7 shots in that game.
He played Tampa.
Vancouver.
Yeah. I guess that is the argument to it, isn't it? And Vancouver.
Get him back as soon as you can.
The argument is like, yeah, you're getting one of your best players back. But on the flip side, I think there's just two sides to it.
I like that.
And the rest of the time off is just the whole team's off. So it doesn't even count either. Yeah. So he may just miss one game.
I guess if he misses one, then whatever.
To me, and it's kind of like he gets a chance to knock a little bit of the rust off.
Sure. Okay.
And you can't tell me that Eric Cates isn't waiting on a tarmac. Like, what time's Cork get out? 3?
Yeah, I don't know.
Get him on the PJ.
Come
on. Yeah.
Yeah, get him on the PJ.
I like how Liam's whole point was, you know, you guys are making a good point, but there is another side to this argument.
Always.
Sorry, I got close to my microphone.
Get him here. 7:30 game tomorrow. If he gets there by 6:45, he's good to go. That's, you know, it means he's got to be at the Edmonton airport.
If he dresses 6 in the airplane.
If his dad carries him into the arena.
Well, if he gets dressed in the limo, right?
While he's driving the car.
If he's at the rink by 6:45,
yeah,
he can go.
You know, this happens. I'll offer my dad's services up.
For the record, it's a 7:30 game.
And this happens in my beer league sometimes. Someone else can sign the roster sheet for him. And if he comes in halfway through the first, he does. Fuck it.
And again, I'm offering my dad services. He carried me into more than one rink because we were late for games. He could do it again.
Alfa Romeo brothers.
Do you remember in like 2012 when the Oilers like had no prospects available and they had to call up that guy from like the Saskatoon Blazers?
Sebastian Bisalion.
No,
it was the Cube, was by the way.
Milan Krypta, something like that.
Oh, Kittner.
Yeah,
Kittner.
Do you remember? I just remember he arrived like an hour and a half before puck drop, and that's all I can think about when we're talking about Evander Kane just getting there.
That happens a lot.
I know, but it's just funny.
Like, I think Stu did it in Baco not long ago. Well, maybe.
Oh, yeah, he did, because he played and he got a shutout.
He came in wearing that big hat.
Yeah.
He came strolling on in.
That was right after the San Jose. So he got the shutout. Then he went to Bakersfield and played like the next day or something like that. But they had early game. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. So I know it's not ideal, but come on. These guys can get that done.
Yeah. Figured out. Second thing is Janmark is over whatever illness he was battling. He is back playing with Nuge and Kostin. Second straight day at practice for him. So I imagine he'll play tomorrow. He will play according to Gregor. Kane not expected to play tomorrow. So he's getting that stuff cleared up down in San Jose.
Just one.
He just skipped court. Oh, what was that, Dan?
Of Milan Kitnar. That was his one and only NHL game in his entire career.
Did he come from the Saskatoon Blazers or am I imagining that?
It looks like that season he was with Oklahoma City or the Stockton Thunder at that time.
Saskatoon Blades.
What did I call them?
Blazers.
Kamloops Blazers. Mm. Looks like Bag Milk is the scout.
Yeah. He was a Blade. He was a Blade 2 years before that. So
maybe you got that's your why time confusion.
It covers the AJHL, not the dub.
Yep. Yeah. Never heard of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw you had a burger review the other day. What happened?
What happened to the burger?
Well, I know you ate it, but like, what was the outcome?
It was delicious. I got it from the Skybox at the, what's that one called, Tyler? Service Union Center or something in St. Albert?
Service Credit Union place?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. At the John Reed. Fantastic piece of meat.
And where did it rank? What's the breakdown?
Good balance of bun and meat with a good amount of cheese. However, I usually don't have it with lettuce. So I took the picture with lettuce.
It looked crispy too.
It was a lot of lettuce. So I took the lettuce off initially and had my first review bite. And I put the lettuce back on. I enjoyed the burger with the lettuce.
You need the review bite has to be the way the chef serves.
Yeah, as the artist
lettuce,
serves.
Lettuce there, then take the bite, review it. If you don't want the lettuce, no problem, take it off after that point.
To be fair, I might be in too deep now to even consider changing my votes, but next year this could be in consideration. But I've also run out of characters on the tweet. So I got to figure out a way to condense it all now. So I think I have a 9.
You're going to have to go to the classic note screenshot.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that too. I'm going to have to figure something out here. But yeah, it was a good burger. I think I put it 3.
Okay. So acceptable juiciness.
Yep. Yep. The service centers now own 2 of the top 3 spots in my power rankings.
There you go.
The one in Red Deer is 2. And then the Saskatchewan burger is 1.
What is your Twitter handle, Liam, so people can follow along?
At Liam Horobin. It's my pinned tweet.
There you go.
Liam had a hell of a food take today on Oilers Nation Every Day.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm ready.
It was a slow day.
It was a slow news day. He says, can you give us the name?
Crisp Butty.
It's just bread and chips.
Yeah, I know what that is.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. And butter.
It's not that weird. You made it seem like
I think it's invented insanity. Something new.
Someone,
fries.
No, it's a chip butty.
Crisp.
Like that's what Lay's chips like and Lay's bread.
Chips.
What flavor?
Whatever you want, Rick. That's the beauty of it all.
Well, I can't see that. Like, I mean, Doritos on anything is going to be good, right? But in the sandwich, I just don't.
Because Rick learned about butties in Vegas.
That was it. Buttons. That's who I told. I couldn't remember. I knew this.
It was Rick and Jay.
That's right.
Was it not? Did we not record it?
No, that was
when we were watching foosball.
Yeah, that was when we didn't leave the hotel.
I was the only one with you. I've had them.
Yeah,
I know.
It's a perfectly acceptable.
How many butties are out there?
Whatever you want. They're all
You're butties. Bound only to your creativity.
Yeah. A butty is essentially a sandwich. So you could have a ham butty, a chicken butty, roast beef.
So if you're doing the chip one, what kind of flavor chips are you throwing on there?
I like salted. Just a nice salted.
Oh, just the OG.
So just the original.
Just a good, you're there.
You're talking like a Lay's? Are you talking
butter and original Lay's?
Lay's. No, well, you can if you want. I go with.
I'm following you. I want to
well,
know what
I go
you're
with,
putting yours
I
together.
Go with the Lay's. But I will say barbecue, that kind of stuff probably isn't going to be great.
Yeah.
But although I do like the sour cream onion crisp butty.
If there was like other, like someone texted in and said, like a pulled pork sandwich with Lay's is good or like a ham sandwich with Lay's and I can get behind that, but just bread, butter, plain Lay's, another piece of bread sounds awful.
Well, you could put meat on there if you want. It's your own creation, Tyler. I am not holding you back on this. You can do whatever you want.
Your creativity is holding you back. That's as far as I see.
You got to think about it.
I feel like
I used to have Tyler. I used to have them a lot when I was traveling. It was a chip butty.
Yeah.
Where it would just be fries in the buttered bread.
I feel like we have some serious summer content going on right now.
I guess I'll close on it. Fish finger butties too. which are fish fingers.
Yeah.
On a sandwich.
You get some tartar on there, though?
You can if you want. Ketchup. Hey, that's, I go ketchup.
It's a fish ketchup. Sandwich.
No, I don't like ketchup.
Yes.
Okay, that's it's better. Really.
Sandwich, but it's fish fingers.
Fish sticks?
Fish sticks, same thing. Fish finger butty.
It's the same. Yeah, it's the same thing, but okay.
Does the fish finger butty have potato chips on it?
If you want.
There are no rules.
So it doesn't even. So
I am not telling you what to do, Dan. You do what you like.
So it's literally just make a sandwich and call it a buddy, and you've got a buddy.
Yep.
It's pronounced with T's, though, not D's.
B-U-T-T-Y.
See?
Butty. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I think I'm saying the same thing. It's not coming through on the microphone. Butties. That's all.
Butty.
Butty.
Buddy, right?
No, butty.
Butty.
There you go.
Yeah. Buddy.
Butty.
We're ready to go to England.
Don't call me buddy, pal.
We've got to save this content for the 10-day layover.
We're just going to do a butty taste test.
We could do a review next show.
We'll have to have a cooking challenge where we all make a butty for each other.
Who can bring in the most flavorful butty for the podcast?
Yeah.
English we'll call each other booty booty.
People bragged about. So shouldn't be a surprise.
Yorkies are fantastic.
Not for girls. Did you ever remember that? Do you remember that? They used to Yorkies whole brand until like 10 years ago. It used to be like Yorkies, not for girls. And the O was just like, you know, they have like a parking sign where you can't park and it's like the P. It was just like the girl, like when you go to the bathroom and they have the girl picture. Yeah. And it was just a big circle with a cross and it was like, not for girls.
So girls aren't allowed to eat Yorkshire puddings?
Yorkies.
What's that?
Oh, it's a chocolate bar.
Oh, I always Yorkshire pudding. I thought you were talking about a dog.
I
call them that too, but there's a Yorkie chocolate bar. That was it. You can look it up. It's
Why can't the girls eat them?
That's what the slogan was. Like,
and up until 2013?
Very recently, they were like, this probably isn't good
They
anymore.
Halved their target market. They're like, no, we don't need the half of you.
Yep.
I will send their logo in our chat. I don't.
We should have pivoted to no guys can eat these anymore.
Yeah, just go the other way.
Available in pink, it says.
Their whole wrapper was built around.
This is a Nestle product, too. Yes. This is like a big company.
Yep. This was it.
Wow.
Yeah, not for girls.
What the fuck?
And it was just like a big chunky. Can
you
chocolate.
Okay, so here's a question for you, Liam. I have a question for you. If you take that chocolate bar and you unwrap it and you put it on a piece of fucking bread, is it a body?
It's a Yorkie butty.
Can you imagine being the executive who ran with this and the day he got fired, it was like, hey man, listen, we gotta stop this. It's like, that's fair. Like, I totally understand.
It's I can't believe
I like to imagine a meeting where the folks at Yorkie are like, God, we got to figure out this sales thing. We need to increase sales. And then somebody pipes up and goes, what if they are for girls? And so everybody goes, damn it, you're right.
Oh, I was going to say, they toss that dude out the window.
You sales get the hell out of here with exactly that. 50%.
Like, girls are like, well, we can eat these too? This is the weirdest marketing strategy I've ever seen in my life. Turn.
Well, it worked.
Oh my God.
Drop that in the group chat.
Okay. How is that a real? We can't even say this on the air, but
he's
I'm
in tears.
That is incredible.
We got to drop it in the group chat so we can.
It's coming. It's coming.
Oh my God.
All right.
If you're looking for this stuff, just Google it.
Just Google Yorkie chocolate.
Oh no. Come on, man.
That's terrible. How is this company allowed to exist?
There's no way. Like, these are so bad, they seem like parody. All right. So if you're listening to this right now and you're like, hey, dummies, I can't see what you're looking at. You can Google this on your own time.
Yep. There's a lot of adverts out there too. You can probably find on YouTube.
Yep.
Oh.
Anyway, the people at Yorkie, you got some splaining to do. Yeah. Well, Oilers, eh? Tyler just keeps them coming. The hits just keep on coming. So you know what, listeners? We're going to get back to hockey now, implore you, please do a little Googling on your free time. Kill some company time today.
It's not even like, again, I digress.
You know what? Not everybody makes good choices, Tyler.
No.
And the people at Yorkie, well, you got some splaining to do. And I also learned that I was thinking Yorkshire puddings.
Yeah, I don't know. Just
Yeah, Yorkshire puddings are fantastic.
They're delicious.
I just call it, yeah, they're amazing.
I could eat those every day.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to go back to hockey real quick for our friends at Tourism Jasper. This weekend, Tyler, we are out at the beautiful Jasper Park Lodge for the 2023 Jasper Pond Hockey Tournament. I'm super pumped on it. We are going to be going up against Team Flames Nation.
Ooh.
Elbows up, boys. Frank Saravalli flying down. Our boy Adam from Toronto, the parent company Playmakers, flying in. You starting to get excited yet?
I'm very excited.
I'm too.
Yeah, I already have all my stuff kind of packed up, all my warm clothes ready for the game. Sticks retaped. Chalmers and I yesterday were talking about, and we both agreed, we're like, we need better strategies this year. Last year, we were just kind of doing whatever. Now we know what the game's about. Now we got some vets on the team. Mm-hmm. We need to like make sure everyone plays their position because I want to win.
Are you guys taking a whiteboard and a marker?
Bag Milk has
one. I've got one.
Are you taking it?
I am now.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, we'll draw up some plays.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pass to the Italians.
Hey, kicking and screaming.
Yep.
Okay. I also want to tell you about the escape card at Marmot Basin. Half price lift tickets, only $89 plus taxes. The best deal in the Canadian Rockies is back for 2023. Save 50% off regular price adult, senior, student, and youth lift tickets every day, all season with no blackout dates. Go to jasper.travel. You can find out more of the details there on the escape card at Marmot Basin. Or if you're in the area, come watch us play some hockey. We're going to be out at the JPL this weekend, so I'm excited about it. I will be going up Friday. It's going to be lovely. Very, very much looking forward to it. A couple more things just from the Oilers, a little bit of housekeeping. And then I've got a couple of questions for you, just open-ended questions that I'd like to ask you. First one, Zach Hyman was named first star of the week in the NHL last week. 3 games played, 4 goals, 5 assists. Our boy's on a heater.
One of those goals was not his. Remember, he got kicked in by Tolovan?
Oh, yeah, he pushed it in or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, he kicked it. No offense, Zach. I mean,
he also had one taken away.
Yep.
Yeah.
The fact
NHL giveth, NHL taketh away.
Yeah.
That was a really hard one to overturn, man.
I don't understand.
Goal on the ice.
Yes.
At this point, when you watch it that many times, I did not see an opportunity to say 1,000% no goal. This has to be one that sticks to you. Go
to
with
me. The puck hit Hyman behind the goaltender and went into the net.
I don't think he made contact with the goalie till the puck was past him.
How is that goaltender interference? It's just the thing with the NHL that drives me crazy right now is just no idea what goaltender interference is right now. I looked at that goal or no goal, I guess, and I thought there's no way this is coming back. But then at the same point, I was like, well, it's probably coming back.
Yeah. You even look at the one that went in on Jack Campbell where he like caught the puck. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of making decisions based off opinion more than the actual like facts of the rule book.
Yes. Which rule book wrong. Says you need to see the entire puck cross the goal line. Did not see that when it's in the glove.
Yeah. And the goalie
changed the rule. No problem. Yeah. I'm okay with that. They have not done there. Mm-hmm. So therefore you have to go back to that rule. We've seen numerous times goalie glove goes in the net. Can't see the puck. Can't call it a goal. Change the rules then.
Can I share with you guys something? Because yes, I was just thinking.
Ahead. Is it more Yorkie ads?
Thankfully, no.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to work on getting all those erased from the internet. Zach Hyman at $5.5 million is unbelievable value.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I am looking right now at players who are on their UFA contracts. So players who signed as unrestricted free agents, whether they signed back with the same team or signed with a new team, whatever. They signed their contract as a UFA. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is the highest scoring player in the NHL who is signed as a UFA. Zach Hyman's number 2. Ken Holland has signed the 2 best UFA contracts in the NHL.
Who's 3? Give us a top 5.
Steven Stamkos, Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin.
Wow, boy.
Those guys are pretty good.
Yeah, those.
Yeah, but they are not as productive as Nugent-Hyman this year.
So who is the next guy on the list who signed with a new team?
Panarin at 6.
Oh, Panarin at 6 is some, that's nice value for the Rangers.
It is.
That is.
But he's almost
Let's
twice
go the other
as,
way. You
but
got
he's
any-
twice as expensive as Nugent-Hyman. Yeah,
who's the worst?
Yeah, who's the word? Like, find us a name where it just like did not like. Who's the Kyle Okposo that you're going to find out there?
Milan Lucic.
Right? I'm trying to
the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Had a good fight last night, though.
Someone on here making 3 points.
Sure did.
Players who make more than $2 million.
Could you also throw Evander Kane in there? Because he's at 5-1.
Yeah, he is. If you want a player, the highest scoring or the lowest scoring player making more than $2 million is Ken Holland strikes again. It's Zach Cassian. Son of a gun.
Damn it.
Figs.
Hey, listen, if we take one Zach Cassian to get a Hyman, a Kane, and a Nuge, all day, every day.
Zach Cassian scored the last goal for the Oilers last season. He was worth every penny, if you ask me.
Mm.
Yeah, he scored the goal that sent him to overtime, right? Against Colorado on the goal line.
I was probably really drunk by that time, so I'm not sure.
My eyes just filled with tears.
I was convinced you got a haircut today. I really was. Just, you're slicked back though in the meeting.
Yeah, I got some new hair gel on
the dippity do,
the pink kind.
Well, I choose the same one. I just got a new tub. but yeah, usually
I like how it comes in a tub. Like what kind of size?
Yeah, just a little
industrial leader. Tub.
Just a little round tub.
It's like a little container.
Yeah, a container. All right. Old Spice pomade.
I still think you need the glasses up there though.
I had to give them back to Dan. I can't have that side of me come out again.
Vegas Liam can only come out so often.
Once a year.
All right.
Available at any Dollarama nearby.
No, Dan, don't give away Liam's secrets. He's a fashion icon for
designer.
24 hours. For our friends at Betway, since there's not a whole lot of Oilers to talk about, how things been going for you recently during this win streak, really? Because as hot as you'd expect to be when the Oilers win like this, hasn't really been the case for me.
Well, the thing is, Aiton's scoring from so many players.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to pin down. Power play empty net isn't clicking like I thought it was going to.
Hit it the other night,
Got that one. Oh, yeah. Who did they play the other night? Vancouver. Got that one. So
you got to find those puck lines in there.
Yeah. I had Nuge anytime goal scorer, so he also contributed to the empty net against Vancouver.
I think tomorrow might be a Oilers -2.5 or -3.5 kind of night.
Ooh. I don't like when you do that.
I'm sorry.
Because we cannot manifest these kinds of things.
See, Betway had a really nice one on Saturday, where his Oiler money line plus 2 points by Connor.
Mm, I had that one as well.
That was plus money.
Yep.
I had that one was as well. Directly into my pocket.
That was plus 125. That was a casual little payout.
It is funny how that one just feels like an absolute lock every time. Actually, I read a stat today. Speaking of Connor,
had his 2 points in like 10 minutes.
Yeah. So in 2015, Jamie Benn won the Art Ross with 87 points.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Connor McDavid has 88 now. In this season.
Yeah, we're at game 48.
Yeah.
Man, how bad was that year?
It is wild to think about.
Yeah. And the thing is too, when you look at it, it's not like the years before were like that poor. Like players were putting up 100
points.
No, that
was just a drop
off. That year was just absolutely horrendous. I don't know what it was that year. Wasn't a shortened year, was it?
I don't think so.
No, there are all sorts of asterisks around.
I also want to shake my fist skyward at the Toronto Maple Leafs for losing to the Montreal Canadiens the other day. That really ruined a parlay that I had going. That would have been real nice. Although ultimately my fault for betting on the Leafs.
Yep.
Yeah. Leaves.
Yep. It's rude. It's inconsistent. And they hurt my parlay. Man, I really hope for the Oilers to win every period because that was juicy. It was plus 900 the other day. It was a little sprinkle.
I wonder how often that one hit. So it would have hit against San Jose.
Yeah. And that was like, I did not bet it.
No. What happens if they push the second?
That's it.
Cancel.
It's over, eh?
Yep. To win every single one.
Yep. Just real quick before we move on to some more weather stuff, what was your take on the Vancouver Canucks, the Bruce There It Is thing from Saturday night?
Yeah, we've kind of talked about it on a whole bunch of shows now, but like, I actually think we talked about it on Friday too. It was my cold performer of the week. Oh, it's just, it's embarrassing. It was like, well, I'm like, happy it's done for Bruce, but like.
That one shot at the end of the Oilers game.
Yeah.
Where Bruce was just kind of soaking it in as the Bruce There It Is chant goes. I was just like, man, this is rough.
That part he didn't mind as much because he knew he was done. And that's just your last kick at the can. That's your last time on the bench, right?
But he should have
it should have been dealt with a lot better before that. But I like the knowing you get one last game type of thing. But there's no way they should have drug him through the mud like that.
No.
And also, as a big WWF fan, I believe the Vancouver fans missed an opportunity to start chanting, "You screwed Bruce."
I think Vancouver missed an opportunity on Tocchet, the way they could have like built him up as like, because now he's
enemy number one already.
Yeah, and he's done nothing wrong, really. Like, it's kind of weird. He took a job that he was offered. So nothing that happened there. But what should have happened was they should have fired Bruce a month ago, put Mike Yeo in charge, who's an experienced NHL coach. Yeah. It's not like you're putting one of us in charge. Like, he knows what he's doing.
I could be there.
Yeah.
Because Tocchet had to put in 4 weeks' notice with TNT, no?
Yeah. So then
they knew around Christmas time. So they've been dragging Bruce through this for a month.
Sending him out there. The media's asking him about it the whole time. They could have had, if Mike Yeo was there, like Liam said, they could have had Jim Rutherford stand there for all that mattered. Like, he's done it before.
Or if you know that Sergei Gonchar is going to be his assistant coach, just put him on the bench. Like, then you can get familiarity with that. But
there were options there, and they chose definitely the worst.
Because then you can have a month of Rick Tocchet talking about being the next Vancouver Canucks head coach.
I don't know if you could go that far.
Why
not?
If you accept the job and say, yep, he's leaving the show in 1 month. Like, and then
he'd be on there talking about other, it'd be weird.
Okay, I get that part a little bit, but he's also got a job to do.
Yeah.
Like, I think it would have been like a good way for them to play it up.
How would you have done it, Tyler?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If I was the Canucks, I would have, canned Bruce the day after you agreed to terms with Tocchet.
Or then once that leaked, like it happened.
Yeah. Okay, Bruce is gone. Mike Yeo's the interim. He's been a head coach before. And just tell the public, hey, we're doing a coaching search. Because then, like, Bruce does his thing, final game against the Oilers, and the next day, Patrick Alvin, their GM, sits in front of the media and goes, I made the decision today to fire Bruce. Well, no, you didn't.
No, you don't. We already knew it was coming.
As an aside there, when you say that Tocchet couldn't do his job like that, they do an F1 all the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In what?
F1.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah, they literally race for the same.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, I'm racing for these guys next year. Yeah. I got 7 more races for us this year. Hey, guys, let's go.
What he would be saying on that broadcast could be seen as tampering at times.
I don't know. Tampering now.
I think it's worse. Because then what? I don't know. What if he has to talk crap about Vancouver? He knows he's getting hired.
He doesn't have to talk. Isn't he just like an opinion there?
Well, he's an analyst on the panel, right?
Yeah, but you're just an opinion. That's all it is.
I don't understand why Vancouver felt the need to put in a head coach right away. Anyways, myself, the team's definitely not going anywhere in the next 2 months.
I would have done a player coach like Slapshot.
I don't know. Like, put in an interim coach. I don't know that Mike Yeo was the option there. Was he an assistant still?
He was an assistant.
Yeah. Okay. So I mean, that would have been a perfect option. And then let the rest of the season just kind of fizzle out and figure itself out, because it is going to now continue to just be a big circus for Rick and his staff.
No, but if you know who your coach is going to be, I don't mind him getting in the some reps in the dead season, figure it out what he likes, doesn't like.
Yeah, fair enough.
And go from there.
One thing that's interesting to me is going to be what happens with Vancouver over the next, say, 18 months. How many of the players currently on the roster are still going to be there? Because I had fun on Sunday celebrating an Oilers win. I'm like, I'm going to do a little Twitter search for JT Miller. See what's doing.
Oh boy.
Boy, it's an adventure in there. And not just for how Canucks fans speak about him, but also how often that guy just completely snaps on the ice.
Mm-hmm. He's a spaz.
Was he always like this? Like, where was he before Vancouver?
New York, wasn't he?
Yeah, New York. He was in Tampa.
Was it just less of a fishbowl so you don't notice it? Or is it this?
I think this is the first time he's been put in like the role as like the star of the team.
Yep. Bingo.
I think he had 99 points last year. Yep. So it was a big
Is he season. The captain?
No, Horvat is. Horvat. Remember, they chose to sign Miller instead of Horvat. And now
so when they asked Horvat about the coaching change, he said he is not in the, I'm not in the right spot to speak about that. Well, no, sir, you were the captain.
He's probably the only player who could have spoke about it. It is quite amazing that Vancouver is so poor with the amount of good players they actually have.
Isn't it fun?
I mean, it's awesome for us. I think 32 points almost until we blow leads. Who do they have? JT Miller, Pettersson, Brock Besser, Bo Horvat, Thatcher Demko, Quinn Hughes. I feel like there's a couple others I'm missing, but my point is like, they have like a pretty solid core of play. Kuzmenko.
They just can't put
seven
it together.
Players. One is a defender, but yeah, they have zero chemistry. It's amazing.
That's great.
Getting back to the Oilers. Our boy Waz put up an article on OilersNation.com the other day. And I just wanted to ask you guys, because I thought the responses within the article and in the comments were interesting. Liam, if I ask you, who is the unsung hero on the Edmonton Oilers right now? It's almost like who is the answer, but like who are some guys that just don't get enough love for what they do?
So Klim's obviously been great, but I, do you know what? This might seem like a silly one, but I think Stuart Skinner is by far the unsung hero on this team. Like without him, like truly, where would this team be? I said a few months ago on our live show that I think he's the MVP of the team. So maybe that is a bit too far for an unsung hero, but I'll just say him.
Tyler?
So the reason I have a tough time with this is because we talk about this team twice a week for multiple hours, or some of us more than twice a week. So we break everything down. Like, you know, Klim Kostin would be an obvious answer. If this was someone from outside of Edmonton asking me this question, Stuart Skinner is a really good one. But the guy who I think maybe the fan base isn't giving enough recognition to for how good of a season he's having is Tyson Barrie.
That's my name.
Yeah.
100%. Like he's quietly put up 32 points this year. Nobody's talking about it.
But defensively,
Yep,
man, steady. It feels like last year it was like at least every second game we were like, boom, boneheaded play by Barrie in the D zone. And this year, I'm barely noticing them at all.
Yep.
And it started with the playoffs last season, to be fair. I thought he had a very good playoffs with Brett Kulak, but I actually think there's a case to be made. He's been their most consistent defenseman this year. That's not just in the O zone. That's in the D zone too.
I think that's the big thing for him, isn't it? Like when you never say like, oh, what was that from Barrie? There's so many of the
It's not happening nearly as much as it used to.
Mm-hmm. No. Like he said in an interview the other day, is like, I just keep the play in front of me and I just try and nail it down. But I think he's done a really good job for a guy. What is he now? 32? So actually like
30,
like to turn his career around in a sense of his playing style is nuts at that age, to be honest.
Like how many people out on Twitter land are going to be so upset with everything you guys are saying.
Oh, I've never understood the idea of like trading him this season or within the season. Off season, sure, I understand it. But like in the season, like what are you going to do? Just move out a guy who, like you said, is 30 points, quarterback's the best power play in the NHL, and guys like him a lot. Yep.
Tighten the room. Yeah, like I'll admit, I was a guy who was like, oh, you could move Barrie at the deadline, let Bouchard step into that role. But now I wouldn't move him at all, not even thinking twice about it.
Dan, who's your unsung hero?
Yeah, I mean, Barry's a good choice. I just, for a guy that even more so because he doesn't put up the points, right behind him is Cody Ceci. He's just steady Ceci for us. Never really... You know, never really a guy that I'm critical of, never a guy I'm really, you know, over the moon about his performance either. I just always kind of count on his minutes to be solid and uneventful.
I like that pick. And, you know, I'm going to say not maybe an unsung hero, but Derek Ryan is quietly having himself a decent little season. He's got six goals, five assists for 11 points. We're talking about a fourth liner. Like, it's what you want.
Yeah.
How do you Devin score?
Well, I mean, Nugent Hopkins is obvious, but
is it though? Because when you speak about the Oilers, Nuge's name doesn't come up in the first five or six names.
And I bet Nuge probably likes that. You know what I mean? I bet he likes kind of sliding under the radar. Cause I remember when he was drafted, it was first overall pick. He's got to be the guy. He's got to be the guy. He's got to be the guy. Now he doesn't have to be the guy. He can go and put up 57. He can. Yeah, he can. 57 points in 48 games for Nugent Hopkins this year. So unsung hero for sure. Like, could Nugent Hopkins be the answer if we bumped up
the belt?
Then yeah, of course.
Like, it's funny, but I think Tyler's right. It's like, especially for fans from Edmonton, it's really hard to find an unsung hero here, because as soon as that blue collar guy starts doing something good, we absolutely love that, right? So Kleem could be the one, except for he's getting his, you know, everyone's singing his praises, and there's not a guy on this team. And actually, Barry was a really good answer for that one, because outside of that, you really don't see guys out there doing something productive. They're not. People aren't singing for them.
Second question I've got for you guys, just as kind of an open discussion, is what makes 11-7 work so well for the Oilers, Liam?
The fact that Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl can go out in multiple ways. And I think the fact that Jay Woodcroft has the flexibility to essentially do whatever he wants with the forward group, which gives you a massive advantage against the other team, because they never know who's coming over the boards. Like, obviously, just line matching and whatever. But if you see someone out there, they'd be like, okay, McLeod go with Leon and Connor for this one. Like, it just kind of works so well because it's so mysterious.
And it's funny though, because, and I know people hate it, but what are our forward lines?
They don't exist. We have 11 forwards.
It could be anything. How do you try and defend that? And it works great for a defense, right? Cause you have at least two young guys on there, although between 26 is young. You have two inexperienced players where you get that extra defense and helps, right? You get a couple extra minutes off from here, or a situation, this, that, or the other thing, whatever. But then the fact that he's so good at just throwing out any combination of three forwards and it all just seems to work. I don't know how you try and sit there and line match that.
Yeah, you can.
It's hilarious to watch. Dan, it frustrates so many people.
Dan, what do you think? 11-7?
I think it even just goes deeper than that too, to say that the Ryan Nugent Hopkins factor plays in as well, because again, you can use McDavid and Draisaitl in any kind of a workhorse situation there. And then you've got Nugent Hopkins and a McLeod or a Derek Ryan again to just spell for those few minutes here and there. But I just think that the layers of center depth just gives you that ability to kind of back up your defense where you need a little bit more support in getting those defensive players' minutes down.
Tyler, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's like the multifaceted versatility of the forward group.
That's great.
It sounds complicated, but you know, you got so many guys who can play center. You have so many guys who can play the left wing or the right wing. You have so many guys that are comfortable playing with each other and being in these different roles that you're right. Jay Woodcroft can just sit there and kick anyone on the behind and say, you're up next, you're up next, you're up next, go. And he can trust that they're going to work well together on the ice. Like, this forward group from McDavid to Derek Ryan, they all seem to know each other's tendencies, or at least they're playing that way right now. Sure. And also another thing, like Liam, you mentioned McDavid and Draisaitl getting to play more. I also think part of it is Jay Woodcroft having the restraint to just not always play those two. You'll see Hyman take those shifts. Yep. You'll see Nuge take those shifts. Everybody kind of gets mixed in with that extra line. Everybody gets a look. Everyone plays a couple extra shifts, and the Oilers are better for it.
And then they could do the ultimate line too when they don't want to.
Yeah, every now and then.
Yeah, why not, right?
Sometimes it's fun.
It's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Liam? It is your time to shine, my friend.
Here we go.
Trivia. Yeah. We haven't had trivia on the podcast in a while.
I just want to, like, just for the record, you said Tyler
went one for eight.
1 for 8 on the live show. All right.
So how are you going to distribute the questions, Liam?
I will ask the questions, and then Bag Milk, Dan, and Rick in that order will give one answer.
All right.
Each. Some of them do need thinking, so I'll just give time. But the first three, two. Okay, so the first one. Who has the
Tyler went 1 for 8, just so we know, right?
One for eight.
Okay.
Can we beat Tyler, who's generally an encyclopedia of Oilers knowledge?
He just pulled that weirdo's name out of the top of his head.
Yep, that's why I'm worried about how I'm going on this.
If I can get one, I'm happy. Let's go.
Scored the most goals, overtime goals, for the Edmonton Oilers in the team's history?
I'm going to go Glenn Anderson.
Dan?
I'll say Kevin Lowe.
Rick?
Glenn Anderson.
Connor McDavid, 14.
Who's two?
Leon Draisaitl, 11.
That was my guess.
Yeri Curry has 7. Oh, because
ties.
All right.
Right.
All right. Okay. All right. Rough start. All right. We're moving.
All 0-1.
Okay.
Who was the last Edmonton Oilers goaltender to make the All-Star game?
Oh,
this is the only one I got right.
Yeah, the Tyler got this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Only Oilers. The last, this one's tough for me because I really don't care about the All-Star game whatsoever.
Was it? Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Bagwell.
I'm going to say Cam Talbot.
Cam Talbot. Dan?
Curtis Joseph.
Rick? Tommy Salo.
Tommy Salo.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In 2002, he had a 2.22 GAA and 9.13 save percentage. What year was that, sorry? 2002.
Was that...
In 2002, I was drinking 40s and bushes.
No, no, was that pre the one off his head then, right?
It would have been.
Yeah, it would have been.
That was an 0-2,
to Belarus.
Okay, so Rick's 1-2, Dan and Bag Milk are 0-2.
Now,
so this one... Okay, I'm going to read.
She goes.
This is a complicated one.
Which Edmonton Oilers defenseman who... Sorry, I should have said this at the start. All these answers are within the last 23 years. Oh. So there's no one like...
Well, that does change a few of our
answers. Okay, so I think Glenn Anderson. Yeah.
Okay, which Edmonton Oilers defenseman who played at least a full season with the team scored most of his points on the power play?
Tyson Berry.
Dan?
Chris Pronger.
Oh, Tyson Berry. Damn it.
My guess was Corey Potter, and it was almost right.
Was it Marc-Andre Bergeron?
It is Chris Pronger. 75% of his points one season came on the power play. He scored 56 points in 80 games, and 42 of them were on the power play.
Nice poll, Dan.
Yeah.
Well, you guys don't follow Zach on Twitter.
Yeah, Zach tweeted this one.
Oh,
Okay, so Dan and Rick have won. Bag Milk is zero.
I'm imagining I'm going skating through on the zero here.
Okay, so this one. How many active Edmonton Oilers, like players who are on the team today, have played for the Bakersfield Condors? So to give an example of this, Devin Shaw is not part of this group.
They have to be on the roster today.
Yes.
On the NHL roster.
Included today. Injured players.
Are we counting the Oklahoma?
No, Bakersfield.
Okay. Are we counting when Connor practiced with them post?
No.
Okay.
They played a game in Bakersfield. Or more.
Okay, I got my number.
Okay. Bag Milk.
I looked at Daily Faceoff lineup just to.
10.
10? Dan?
I'm saying 11.
Rick?
I'm going with...
Oh, 11. Oh,
okay, 11. We'll allow it.
Whoa!
I missed one as I'm going through the list.
It's going to be 11, but it might be 12. Did he?
Just do it to be different.
Well, I'll do it to be different, 12.
You're all wrong. It is 13.
And I kind of got this one right because I said 12 and counted all the right players, but then you were like, I counted Yamamoto.
Yeah, because he's on the active roster. So it's Leon Draisaitl, James Hamlin, Dylan Holloway, Matthias Janmark, Klim Kostin.
I forgot Janmark too.
Yeah, Ryan McLeod, Jesse Puljujärvi, Iamo, Evan Bouchard, Broberg, Vinny Desharnais, Darnell Nurse, and Stuart Skinner.
I forgot about Nurse.
Yeah, he played 96 games. Hold on,
I got a point of order here. Did Oscar Klefbom play on the Condors?
No, he was on Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. Oklahoma, yeah.
Okay.
He's technically still on the roster, Liam. He might have counted.
Now, this one was maybe a bit too difficult, but I'll ask anyway. So how many trades has Ken Holland made as the general manager of the Edmonton Oilers? Including all of everything.
Okay. So
for example, I'll give you one. He traded Dylan Wells for future consideration.
That's counted in this. I was close.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm going to say.
How many years has he been our GM?
Like I know a website I can go count and cheat, but I'm
well,
not
that's what I did.
How many years has he been our GM?
Four years.
He's not a big trader.
If you can guess the first one, I'll give you half a point.
I'm going to say 10 total.
Okay. Do you know what his first trade would have been?
No.
Okay. Dan?
I'm guessing it's like 26.
Oh boy.
Guess on the first trade. Do you have one?
Oh, that was after Manning and what's his face and cost.
Yeah.
So was it the Athanasiu?
Okay.
I'm going to go with
No.
No, you got to let me answer first. He'll tell us.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry.
18 trades. And his first one.
I'm light.
What was your guess? Mike Green?
10.
No. His first trade was a Lucic trade.
For the real deal.
Yeah. 14 trades.
Oh, actually, I wasn't that far off.
No, I guess
that,
12.
That was way too high. Off.
I wasn't that far off.
Was hefty, I thought there were more a couple of Dylan Wells types trades.
Because I was thinking, like, Tyler and I did the 2022 recap episode of Better Late Than Never, and he only did 3 trades in a calendar year.
Yeah.
I was like, he's not a big trader.
No, a lot of them have been like kind of cap dumps, like the Lucic one, the Wells one, the Cassian one, too. His own mistakes. Yeah. So this one, feel free to lug this up if you'd like. So this might be a bit too difficult. How many players have played within the Edmonton Oilers organization or have been drafted from the 2012 NHL draft?
Oh, fuck.
The number is staggering. So I'll give you a clue on this one. They drafted 7 players that year.
So that number starts with 7.
The number is 7.
You can't Google that.
Because there's a bunch of ones
who's the top 5 in that year?
That was Yakupov.
You basically had all of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's that's fair. I should have said that.
And then there's...
Because then we've had...
Cuckoo is in there too.
And yeah, I think...
Oh my God. CeCe.
Yeah, CeCe's in there.
Big Cat.
Those two are in there. He's in there.
It's like 15. they just keep coming as we scroll down the list.
7 plus, I'm gonna say 13.
13? Dan, your guess was 15?
15, yeah.
Rick?
So the 7, and then I'm gonna say there's 5 extra, so I'm going 12.
19. So I'll read them out.
Okay, let's go.
And it was a horrendous draft. Yakupov, Ryan Murray, Griffin Reinhart, Slater Cuckoo, Cody CeCe, Henrik Samuelsson. That's the first round. Mitch Moroz, Pontus Aberg, Anthony Stolarz, and Devin Shore. That's the second round. Juju Okereke was in the third. Daniel Zakharov.
Zakharov.
Erik Gustafsson, who they never signed.
Oh, go
ahead. Yep.
Brett Kulak, Andreas Anthanasiou, Joey LeLegia, Seth Griffith, Josh McCarron, who never played a game, and Matt Benin. Isn't that amazing?
Griffith still with the squad.
Yeah, that is
amazing.
A horrible class of players.
Oh, just collect the whole set?
Yeah, get them all.
Yeah.
May as well. Mm-hmm. There'll be more to come. I'll ask the same question this time next year. Maybe I missed someone.
I'm going through again to make sure you didn't miss anyone.
I'm pretty sure that's it though. But Brett Kulak is the pick of that group. That is
I see you.
Shout out to me for going over in this trivia game.
Yeah. Maybe I made it a bit too difficult.
That is a difficult one.
This is Liam's wildly complicated and difficult trivia.
You know how much spicy food we've had to eat
every Tuesday now.
I would have been having every indigestion.
Oh, yeah, it would have been hurting early.
I like that.
Yeah, thank you.
Maybe on more Tuesdays, we can do more trivia. We got a lot of dead time coming up.
10 days coming up.
I like that. Well, I don't know how we could bring the podcast down after a riveting round of trivia, but it's time for, damn it, Tyler, it's word association time.
Here we go.
I'm excited.
How many words you got? What's the order? I imagine you spent your entire week working on this.
I got 3.
Uh-huh. Okay. What's the order?
Someone didn't have a bye week this week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go Liam, Rick, Dan, Bag Milk.
Alrighty.
Seems like a different order than we usually do.
Hit me.
Describe Zach Hyman as a player in one word.
Cool.
All-star.
Truculent.
Versatile.
Amazing. It's hard to describe Zach Hyman. I was trying to think of a good word to describe his work ethic because he's just, or tenacious would be a
buzzing.
Word. Ooh.
Tenacious would be a good word for
Olympian.
Zach
Hyman. Was he?
No, but he could.
Tenacity.
Yeah, he's on my team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The fact the Oilers play 3 times in the next 14 days.
A boo.
Excruciating.
snooze fest.
Depressing.
I'm going to put trivia because I guess we're going to have a lot more trivia over the next 2 weeks.
Maybe I'll bring in like chocolate trivia or something.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Little snacks.
Yeah.
Delightful.
How does that work?
I didn't hear what you said.
Yorkies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yorkie trivia.
He's got a whole
Those of you who have seen some video content from this episode know that we have a fresh line of Nation Gear hats out now. Oilers Nation lids. Your favorite color of the new Oilers Nation lids?
Blue.
Maroon.
Yeah. Sorry, I skipped the line. I'm going.
Gotta go maroon.
I'm saying blue as well. You look good. A nice shot of Liam in that one.
We got to talk about this because they have there's two navy hats.
Yeah.
They're both like quote unquote navy, but the colors are way different. The one my eyes still hurt because I still think it looks black.
Well, I can't even participate in this question because podcast confession, I'm colorblind between dark blue. Like I can see the difference between those two hats, but if they get a darker shade of navy, I cannot tell.
I'll show you one out there. Then,
and that's why Bag Milk isn't a fighter pilot.
That's true.
Have you seen the Cleveland Browns hat?
Yeah, it's serious. Well, it's the technically it's the Jay Downton.
Also, yes, so on this brown one, is this all of them? It's pink and brown. And pink.
That's green.
Walnut and pink.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's a green hat.
No, Liam, look at it closer, buddy.
It's walnut.
That's walnut.
This is riveting podcast
pink.
Listening.
It's walnut and
pink.
Oh,
that
yes.
is pink.
We're going to put these up on our socials so you too can decide how colorblind we are.
They should be dropping this week.
There you go.
Pretty cool.
They're dope.
Maybe I'll grab one. I don't have a nation.
Did I see that one?
Yep.
There's also some, so these right here that you're looking at right now are the
just massive melon.
A lot of hair.
Why is it two dot?
Yeah, how many pips you got?
A lot of knowledge, so I come up with the trivia questions.
Liam is on the second two last dots. Dot of the snapback.
What is your, what's
stop
your-
Stop shaming us big brain people, Tyler.
When I get a hack, I'm four.
Five.
You're
I'm 7 3/8 is like my fitted head
five?
Size.
Five? 7 5/8 back in my day.
So when you wear a fitted, what do you wear?
I'm 7 5/8 in a long time. Although we do have three fitted hats on, we're dropping as well.
Nationgear.ca. Get yourself a fresh lid. They look good.
Ooh, these fit, they fit nice.
They look real nice.
Would you bend the rim?
Just a slight tug on them. I might buy this one.
You're going to have to now.
Yeah, you're going to have to. It's all sweaty.
I'll bend it back.
There you go.
He's just going to sit on it.
How that works.
Tomorrow, we'll just wrap up the podcast real quick. Tomorrow, they're playing the Columbus Blue Jackets. Johnny Gaudreau back in town for the first Ooh. Time since the playoffs. I gotta give Flames Nation some credit for just, they were having a lot of fun with Johnny Gaudreau last night.
They were.
And it looked like a good time.
Hey, hats off to his teammates. When he touched the puck during practice, they were booing funny. Him. I think that was hilarious.
Yeah. I love it. So
I do wish he'd scored though.
Yeah, me too.
On that penalty shot.
Key to victory against the Columbus Blue Jackets tomorrow, Liam.
11-7.
Rick?
Just keep doing what you've been doing.
Tyler?
Score a lot of goals.
Mm-hmm. That'll do it.
Yep. Dan?
Outshoot the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I'm going to say don't, you can't play down to him.
Just keep doing what you've been
just
doing.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
That's exactly what I say in the room. All right, boys, get at it. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Doing what you're doing. Score prediction, Liam?
5-3.
4-2 for me.
6-1.
6-1. I was just thinking 6-1 right
now. Dan?
Coming out, baby.
3-2 in overtime for the Oilers.
Let's go.
3-2.
There we go. The Tuesday episode of Oilers Nation Radio is wrapping up. I want to give a shout out to our friends at Betway, Tourism Jasper, Oodle Noodle, and also AMA Travel. If you want to come with us to Toronto, you can do that. But now that we've posted the Vegas recap video, trips are starting to move. If you want to come with us to Toronto, you got to get on it or you're going to miss out. And you're not going to come with the hangout with me and Tyler.
Then what are you going to do for that whole weekend?
You're going to feel like a real goose.
Yeah.
Nationgear.ca. Get all the details for that trip. And shout out to our friends at AMA Travel for putting it all together. And most importantly, thank you for checking out the Tuesday episode of Oilers Nation Radio when there is not a whole lot going on this week.
Mm-hmm. Talked about chocolate and sandwiches.
Yeah.
Booties. The word of the day is
ham booty.
Booty. There
I'm
you go.
Excited.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.